Hi, my name's AJ Kimball. I love the other place, and here I am getting a chance to play once again. I have played on the other place on Season 2. I've played Roberto, and I've GM'd for the Gray Library previously, so having the chance to be a player is always exciting, and I'm super thankful for being able to be with this crew. I'm playing Udu Udu, a Thayr's Necromancer.
Oh, hello. I am Moose. I am playing Pierre, the water wizard, as I call him. He is a water, and yeah, he's getting excited to get dicey in here.
Hello, hello. My pie, apple pie, or just pie. Normally known for playing my outlandish wildcard characters. But this time, it's a little more tamed, but still outlandish. I am playing a stone folk explorer named Spinel. Spinel being a glass-like precious gem, so to say. So he's just a ruby-red crystalline monstrosity that's been isolated out in the wilderness for ages and has decided to break his isolation and begins to roam.
All right, and I am Zach. I'll be the GM for this session. I GM for Tales of the Outer Rim, and I also play Hez on the Stranger Skies season that we're playing currently. Hope you guys enjoy what we've got for you tonight.
Oh, visitors, I don't think you're supposed to...
Why are you so old?
Well,
he is kind of old, isn't he? Why are a lot of these books green? Why are they all? You have like green over here and then more green over there. Shouldn't they be of different color?
They smell old too.
They do smell old.
Why don't I tell you a story? Have you ever heard the story of Oratum?
No.
Or a what?
Oh. A necromancer from long, long time ago.
Oh.
We just happen to have some second or third hand reports of the story of her rise to power. There's sword fighting and dead rising and necromancers.
Ooh.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Come on, gather around. Once upon a time, before the Iron Tower, to the north in the Giant's Plains, we begin the story of the rise of Oratum. Our story begins with three or so people. Udu Udu, a Thayr's, Spinel, a stone folk, and a woder named Pierre B. It says Pierre Beaverton III, but I can only imagine this is written about the Weaverton family. I'll have to make a note to check my sources. The Weavertons were... I can see by your faces that you don't really care about... never mind. We see an archaeological dig in the Giant's Plains. It's just been overtaken by the forces of Oratum. She's looking for a very special relic, said to be buried among the sinkholes and bluffs of the plains. What once was a jovial dig site is now, well, a bit more morose and less voluntary. It had been raining for weeks, and everything was caked in a thick layer of mud, including the people. You couldn't even tell each other apart most of the time.
Udu Udu is a mask-wearing cowled figure with a red-beaked shrike on his shoulder. He is a Thayr's, and he is tall. He has a large gourd on his back with a leather strap and a oud instrument that seems to have a little bit of wear and tear on it. On his belt, he has a leather clasp bell, but in his hand, he carries a twin flute, or owls. Alus? Alus? Alos?
Alus?
Yeah. Alus? I think he is watching things dig. Had we taken this by force, there are new laborers that don't talk back digging.
Yeah. Okay, so you're observing what is going on, like, amongst the actual excavation. we pan around and find Pierre. Pierre, who are you? Who's Pierre?
Oh, Pierre is the dapper gentleman. Pierre Beaverton III.
I love it.
Heir to the Beaverman legacy. As you see him, you see a lithe beaver. His race would be known as a woader. They are predominantly down in the teeth, but...
Again, Weaverton. Is this a mistranslation of something? Sorry, I see it a few more times up ahead.
Pierre is kind of a jack of all trades and kind of found himself doing some mercenary work. Just rocking a robe with the hood up, but you can see that on the left side of his face, he does have a scar that goes from his eye down to his mouth. And he has a longbow strapped to his back.
Okay, so you are all kind of in the same general area when a Signeon walks in with a very large individual behind them that, like, you've never seen before. Pi, what do we see?
What you see is possibly an eons-old crystal stone folk. There are cracks and fissures strewn about him, like streaks of white-hot lightning, and a vitreous red, ruby-red crystalline structure. There's ancient chains wrapped around his body. It's uncertain whether the chains are for utility or perhaps containment of some sort, but they're there nonetheless.
Pierre and Uru Uru, you know this Signeon to be Torrent. He is essentially the leader of your work gang here, who's making sure everything is taken care of. He led the charge to kind of take this place over. He's the one that runs the show. There's various individuals who run different aspects, but as a whole, Torrent is in charge.
Oh, good, 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 good. Yeah, you're here. All right, Pierre. Uru Uru, get over here. This, and he elbows the crystalline. This here's Spinel. I've got a job for you. I need y'all to get this item, and he has a chest. He slaps his hand on a chest. He's holding it in front of him, kind of, like, in front of his chest. He slaps the chest. This chest, and this here, Stone Folk, he elbows Spinel. You need to get him back to Oratu. Got a map laid out for you, a whole route here, but first, I need you to stop at Arid. Torrent is a Signeon. They are a swan Isian. Mm-hmm. Swan-like, duck-like. They are they're very dark gray with mottled black spots. They wear like leather studded armor. It's very basic. They're a little. I mean, everyone here is dirty. No one here is super unique because they all look like mud right now. It's been raining a lot. There's a lot of the dust that would be in the air is now on everybody's skin and armor. He rolls a map out on the table. Off to the side. All right, here we are in the Giant's Plains. He draws a big circle on the map. To the southeast, we got Eridu. Eridu, by foot, probably 3 to 5 days. I need you to get there, and you're going to find a Corvia. Goes by Dusk. Her crew was also acquiring something, and they're going to need a little stronger escort to get back. You're not gonna go around a North Spur like we normally do. We need you to get there fast. So if you keep headed straight south, don't go around the spur. Go straight to the spur. To the east, Eisen Pass. There's gonna be an outcropping of rocks, and he draws a little. There's like a formation of rocks that he's drawing. It's particular. Once you see it, it's like if you didn't know what it was, it's just rocks. But now that he's kind of etching this out for you. It is a very identifiable rock feature. I need you to get both items and Dusk's crew all the way back to Autotune and the Scrum. Y'all feel up to the task for this?
Being up to the task isn't hard to do. Yeah, it's not hard to do, says the Thayer strike on his shoulder. What I think would be difficult is not knowing exactly what's in the pass, what's in the chest.
All you need to know is what we came here for. For Aratum, she needs it. to complete a ritual. That's all we know. Everyone's always bringing items back for rituals for it. You know, she wants all the relics. She wants all the power. We gotta... She hasn't done us wrong yet, so... Let's just continue, doing our job, yeah?
I'm gonna silently pick up the chest and put it on my shoulder like a keg.
He's still holding it? So
I'll pick him up, too.
Yeah, let's do a little roll here real quick. He's not very... You're gonna do opposed string. One red, one purple. I've already set that. So go ahead and roll an athletics.
Yeah, two success, one threat.
One threat? Okay. Okay. So you manage to pick up the chest while he's holding onto it, but the threat is that he's still holding onto it. So while you throw it over your shoulder, he is like in your arms. So you've got this guy up in your arms. He is not super fond of what just happened. Hey! No. He's not letting go. You got it. No. We got to give this to someone in our crew. No. And he's like tugging. He's feet on your chest, pulling on this chest. No.
Move south.
No. Hey, you guys help me here.
I'm patting the chest.
Pierre, I need you to move this.
Pierre will look up and just kind of see that he's got this giant thing in hand, and he'll go, looks like he's got this covered. And light what would appear to be someone would smoke in this scenario. He has it rolled up like a cigarette to an extent. Okay. And he just lights it. He makes his statement and lights his cigarette and just watches.
Fine. But you're the one responsible for this if anything goes wrong.
What's the size of this chest? Can any of us carry it?
It's about the size of a football, maybe a little bigger and boxier, like a small bread box.
Oh, okay.
He finally lets go and kind of falls to the ground. All right. Fine. But Pierre, you're in charge. Anything goes wrong, your name's already on the orders I sent back.
This will not be a problem. We will take care of this. My name is Pierre Beaverton III.
I forgot.
Yeah, I know. You keep telling us all the time. You just say, I'm Pierre Beaverton III. We know. I understand that you're proud of it, and I can appreciate that. But listen, you gotta get this to Eridu. We can't spare any horses. It's 3 to 5 days walk. If you need any supplies to the quartermaster, other than that, y'all head out. I need to talk with Pierre.
I will go fetch us some supplies.
Yeah, we'll go get the good stuff.
I mindlessly follow Udu.
Okay. So, Signeon waits for everyone to leave the room, walks over to Pierre. All right, seriously. Pierre, you need to keep your eye on this chest. This is for a very important ritual. Orator would be very, and I mean very, upset if this didn't get back.
This is no problem.
Anything happens with these other two jokers, you're fully allowed to do what you gotta do. But that chest and that stone folk have to get back.
Ah, but of course.
But I would recommend keeping them at least until you get to the cave. You'll probably need the help.
Ah.
Or a tomb. She's had some fallout with some of the other in the group, so be aware that we may not be the only ones looking for this particular one.
Yes, of course. I will make sure this is done.
All right, I'm trusting you. This is going to be the one. This is going to set you up. He pats you on the shoulder and walks away.
He patted me on the shoulder.
Yeah.
I would like to slap his hand off of me as he does
okay.
that.
Okay,
and
what is that?
Pierre would look at him and say, "You do not touch this robe. Don't you know who I am?"
Before you do that, I need to get a coordination. I want to see if you hit him or not.
Ooh, coordination.
You could have him roll a vigilance.
Because it's not like you're trying to hurt him. I'm just trying to react.
Like I don't want him to touch my robe.
I guess vigilance would be acceptable.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you a boost, and it's gonna be average.
All right.
One success. Yeah, he's like, okay, all right, yeah, Beaverton III. Yeah, I get it. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm trying to tell you this is good for you. Yeah, you know, I'll see you in a few weeks once we've done here. This was the big thing, but we're going to excavate what we can. So we get back there, maybe we'll have some drinks. Drinks for one, drinks for three, drinks for two, doesn't matter. But,
this is understood. We will take all care right. of these.
All right.
Oh, my name is not Pierre Beaverton III.
AJ, you are a necromancer, correct?
Correct.
You are walking with the Crystal Stone folk with this box. I need you just to give me an average setback. What do you think would be a good skill for detecting an aura? Like a magical aura?
Knowledge forbidden?
That's actually really good. Go ahead and give me a knowledge forbidden.
All right.
Oh, a success. All right. Yeah, as the stone folk moves closer and further away as you guys are walking and moving through the crowd, you feel an energy that is similar to the kind of energy you feel when a necromancer is performing their work. It is a natural, but also a kind of slightly unnatural magics.
Would you is it similar to when we cross over and walk in the Seven Rivers when we're casting our, like we're trying to transverse, it gets really cold?
You can definitely sense that there is a connection to the Seven Rivers, but this isn't necessarily anything quite like, it's not quite like that.
Does it have a different feel than when I cast my magics?
This is more, you feel like this item particularly has its place, like it has purpose. You didn't get a lot of advantage. So you didn't get any advantage. I can't really tell you a lot about it, but this item is there's something in here that is magical. Something in here that feels very slightly connected to the Seven Rivers, and that it is some sort of implement.
You would say an implement, like it is. Would you liken it to using a bell or an item to cast magics with?
No, more as it is similar in the sense that you can tell that it channels. It is used for channeling something, but it doesn't. It has to be activated a certain way.
Okay.
And it's not activated. It you don't sense any way of activating it. You'd have to examine it closer, whatever it is, to understand how it functions or what it would do, what it might do. And then we have Spinel.
Are there any markers or anything on this chest, or is it just like the ordinary wooden chest?
The chest itself is nondescript. It's just a pretty basic chest. It has a very sturdy lock, and there's also two like flap downs with padlocks on it as well. So there are two padlocks and one like built on lock.
How far away have you walked away from Pierre?
Well, depends. Uru, how far would you let him out of your sight with the box?
No, I would be. I was leading.
Oh, okay.
We were going to the tent, and I assumed he was following us.
But, like, how far are me and Udo away from Pierre? Because we left Pierre to go talk, like, alone.
Oh,
right?
Pierre is still... Let's say Pierre is in, like, the main excavation tent. You guys have left the tent, crossed some of the muddy pathways, and there's a smaller tent, maybe to the east, that has... There's, like, a quartermaster with some locked cages. There is, there's like a mess hall tent, like a mess tent off to the south of that. So you guys, the quartermaster's has the most like walling around it is the most secure because it's the quartermaster, right? But everything else is pretty open because it is wet and it is daytime. The humidity and all that, they want to get the airflow through. So most of the tent flaps are open, but the quartermaster's hut is not. It's pretty closed.
I am still silent, just following Udo.
Okay.
Now, just looking at the chest, not seeing or doing anything.
All right.
Udo would go, do you feel anything odd about that chest? Yeah, anything odd about that chest?
I'm not going to shake it, but I'm going to roll the chest like a rain stick. Do I feel anything moving inside?
What do you think, what skill do you think you would use to detect?
Perception?
Perception, that's pretty good. I'll say average.
Cool. Oh, no.
Is that a failure and a threat?
Yeah.
You're not quite sure what's in there. You don't really know if there's anything in there. You might have to shake it harder to see if there's anything in there. It doesn't feel like that. You're so strong, and the box to you is so small that you're not quite sure. If you wanted to know more, you would have to shake it.
So I have it palmed upside down in my hand in front of me, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at Odoodo. He's like,
it's box.
And I continue to walk.
So you have it in your hand still, you just walk off with it?
Well, I'm still following Odoodo, but like I'm palming it like a basketball, and I was like,
it's box.
Just like, I think confused.
You're also super tall, aren't you?
Yes. 7'4".
That's quite tall. So you are actively having to like duck and like shimmy into places.
I mean, I would say like eye level is like 7 foot, but because of like what would you call it? Stalagmites? The crystal stalagmites mm-hmm. growing on my head, I'm 7'4".
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so you're gonna have to like duck. If you're gonna follow him into the quartermaster tent, you have to duck and stuff. You guys get whatever supplies you might need. If there's anything specific you might want that you don't have already, you can let me know. Otherwise, we'll just say that you guys have got the things you need provision-wise.
Perfect.
Okay, you have about 5 days, 4 or 5 days provisions, given nothing untoward happens. And Pierre, before you leave the excavation tent, is there anything you want to do before you meet up with the rest of them?
No. Pierre knows what he's doing. He'll just kind of look around, and you'll see him drop his tobacco on the ground, and he just walks towards the group.
Okay. Nice.
I'm going to assume, as a stone folk, I don't need rations or anything, right?
Yeah. Stone folk choose when they eat and when they don't eat. But I would be like, I will need some fine gravel.
10 pounds of salt.
I need some granite and a little bit of quartz. I need to keep them sharp. I'm going to need a brick of tobacco, 3 bottles of wine. You don't drink, do you? Or do you? Do you choose to drink?
I do not.
4 bottles of wine. 3 for Beaverton. You know, one for us.
So behind, as you're saying all this, you see a kilpie, very small.
Oh, nice.
She's about 5.5 feet tall. Well, that's quite the list there, but we're not going to be able to requisition most of this. 4 bottles of wine? We might be able to get you a jug of some swill, but we're not going to have any wine.
Does Pierre hear this conversation?
Are you approaching the tent?
Do sure, I hear yeah. her saying that?
Yeah, he's absolutely.
He's going to walk in and go, I will not drink this swill. You will get these provisions. Don't you know who I am?
Here we go again. I came here first, and I told you my list. But now you got to listen to it. Pierre, will you please tell him who you are? Yeah, tell him who you are.
Yeah, you know who I am. I am Pierre Beaverton III.
We all know who you are, Pierre. But I can't. There's nothing I can do. I mean, if you could find someone around that's got some wine, or go and talk to Torrent, maybe you could have Torrent rustle some up for you. But I mean, good luck. Listen, the best I could do, I can at least put some honey and some blueberries in your swill, and you know, you let it sit for a few hours. It'll be better. I mean, you know,
this will suffice. We are only traveling a few days. I know where we can get better wine when we move forward.
I like to think Pierre, along all of the roads in all of the continent, there are like dead drops where he's dug out holes or carved out trees. This is full of like little wine fermenters.
Yeah, wine and tobacco throughout the entire world.
There's a field of tobacco and then trees that are just stuffed with like kegs.
Little provisions of cheese and crackers and things that won't spoil. Cheese and preserved meats.
All right, well, it'll take me a little bit to get this together, but y'all are welcome to hang out or head over to the mess tent, and I can have some a scent for you whenever your stuff's ready. Where are y'all headed?
That's classified. Yeah, that's classified.
Oh. Is that that's what that fancy box there is for?
You don't have a fancy box, just like everybody else has a fancy box?
Well, not with a 7-foot-tall stone fall carrying it around. All right.
I have a stupid grin on my face as I hear that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. I won't twist your arm. I'll let you know when this is ready. You're welcome to, mill about. She shuffles off and starts gathering stuff from behind counters.
What's her back turned? Is her back turned?
Yeah.
What's visible in front of me?
All that's there is like there's like a wooden wall and one of the swinging doors, half door, mm-hmm. but it's a desktop and it's locked in place. So there's no counter to crawl over. It's all like tent wall and some like metal bars.
She's within ear and eyeshot of me.
It depends on how loud you're being. Hmm. I imagine if you were talking low enough, she would be. You could probably. You don't know her. Maybe she's got bad hearing. I don't know.
So I just squint my eyes as I'm staring at the back of her head, and then I shake my head, and then I struggle to get back outside the tent flap to go back outside.
But watch your head now. She doesn't even turn around. She just like knows you're shuffling out.
Okay.
Anything anybody want to do around the little site? Anybody that you know,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote, that you want to talk to or anything like that?
While he's waiting for supplies, Udo looks to Pierre and goes, Hey, Pierre.
What? What is this?
Torrance is looking awfully shifty and something about him. Yeah, or something about her just isn't sitting right with me. Plus, we're not allowed to know what's in the box. Yeah, what's in the box? It's kind of rubbing me the wrong way. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what we mean?
What does this mean, rubs the wrong way? I do not know. This is not your concern. We take the box to the place. This is the job. We do the job. We go. We serve.
I know we serve her. We get that. Yeah, we get that. But at the same time, we all have our motives. Like, I'm gathering power just so I can go back on the rivers. You know that. We've talked about this. Yeah, we want to see our family again. I just want to see my family again, see if I can find them. You know, the more power, the better off.
Yes.
The better off we'll be, right? So that, like, that's our end. Yeah, that's like our end. And how we get there is it's just us. Yeah. But I want to be able to get there. Yeah. We want to float the rivers.
You do not trust me? You do not know who I am? You do not know the things that I have done? We will achieve these goals together.
That's fair. That's all I wanted to hear. That's all we wanted to hear. That's all I wanted to hear. Yeah. Okay.
We eat! And he walks away to go to the mess hall to eat quick before they leave.
Yeah, Pierre, it's definitely not up to your standard of food.
Oh, he is not happy, but he knows that he has to eat at least something.
I mean, for a story point, maybe you have a secreted away set of provisions of your own.
That will be at a later time.
You're fancy. You guys don't have 4 bottles of wine. You do have 6, but he's not telling you where they are.
And from there, our heroes, or anti-heroes, or protagonists, or, the people the story's about, gather their gear and begin their long, wet journey to the burgeoning town of Eridu. But all was not well along the road, as we'll soon see.
Hey, Mr. Torrin, I got a question.
Yeah, of course.
Is that really that Isseon's name, Torrin? Or are you just writing yourself into a book?
Oh, no. Isseons just like to name themselves after natural things, like, twig, branch, berry.
So it's not... Oh, okay. I thought you just wrote your name into it. You said... Because you're Torrin, and that's Torrin. And so I figured you were just telling your own story. I figured you just wanted to be famous. I get it. See what he did, guys? You see what he did?
Well, so the name may have been lost to time. There might be a few embellishments here and there. You want a fun story, don't you?
Oh, heck yeah, we do.
All right, then. Anyway. Thank you for listening to Tales from the Grey Library. Thanks to Pi and Moose from Tales of the Outer Rim, and AJ from The Other Place for playing on these episodes. And thank you to Zach from Tales of the Outer Rim for GMing. If you're liking Tales from the Grey Library, be sure to listen to The Other Place and the Fenrain Files. The Other Place follows a new group of adventurers each season as they try to save the world from an apocalypse of the dead. And in the Fenrain Files, we explore the world even further from an outside perspective, looking down at its history, people, and places. Tales from the Grey Library is produced by Nightcast Creative. For more about us and the other things that we make, visit nightcastcreative.com.